From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall.
I was walking with my daughter, and she's too young to go to school, but we're always scouting playgrounds, places to play in the neighborhood.
That's Plan Philly editor Ariella Cohen.
So I thought, oh, behind the neighborhood elementary school is going to be a good one. We go there, and it's just an asphalt slab, nothing, kind of a trashy lot.
That simple search led to an investigation of Philadelphia playgrounds, one that Health and Science reporter Nina Feldman is still reporting months later.
About two-thirds of public schools in Philadelphia do not have any sort of play equipment at all.
And most of those schools are located in low-income neighborhoods where kids of color live. Research shows play benefits all kids. So why is it so hard for Philly schools to get playgrounds? Today on The Why, the high cost of play.
So as you can imagine, the school district of Philadelphia has a limited budget, and there are a lot of priorities that come first before outdoor space to play.
I think our team also recognizes and acknowledges the importance of play and the importance of students to be able to go outside in a space that's shady and safe and welcoming.
I talked to Danielle Floyd, who's the chief operating officer at the Philadelphia School District. Her budgetary reality is just that she's got to pay for textbooks, too, and she's got to pay teachers, and she's got to pay for when boilers break in the basement.
We get easily 60-plus requests for playgrounds on an annual basis. And we've been able to, through different means and methods, I think on average we're between about 8 to 10 projects a year.
How much do playgrounds cost?
Generally, it ranges from about $500,000 to $1 million. Yeah,
so I had no idea.
Yeah, we're talking about some serious investment to the outdoor facilities at a school. I think a lot of people, they hear playground, they think throw up a slide and a set of swings. How hard could it be?
It's not HGTV. It's a process.
And we're talking about essentially, you know, a retrofit of an outdoor space. It's a lot of work, and it's a serious financial investment.
Well, let's talk about that investment, because research has shown that play benefits kids in all kinds of ways, right?
Exactly. So one of the most important reasons why playgrounds matter is because we have a childhood obesity problem in Philadelphia. And we did some mapping work to look at the intersection between the areas with the least amount of play resources and the areas with the highest levels of childhood obesity. And, you know, it wasn't a one-to-one correlation of places that have high rates of obesity and places that have fewer places to play, but there was a lot of overlap, I will say that. So these areas could really, really benefit from more opportunities for physical activity for kids. And I think a lot of people would say, well, you know, how much does a jungle gym really impact a kid's ability to run around? But there's a lot of research that actually shows the more stuff there is for kids to do, and also the more grassy areas and fields there are for them to play on, the more physically active they are.
Now, you know, kids are so resourceful, Nina. You kind of talked to a family and observed a family whose neighborhood didn't have a playground, and they found a way to move, right?
They sure did. Yeah, I was really lucky, and I got the chance to hang out with the Barnes family.
I play football, and I like to play basketball and stuff. I just like sports.
There are three kids, Maurice and Mackenzie and Malia, who's just a baby.
She's learning at her own pace. How old is she?
1.
She doesn't go to school yet, but the other two go to school right across the street from where they live at Lowell Elementary in the Olney neighborhood in Philadelphia. And I hung out with them one evening right after school. Maurice is 9. All he wants to do is throw a football around. He has a strong arm, too. And, you know, he's running around. He's diving on the asphalt, on the concrete.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, I was cringing, and Malia and Mackenzie were playing, and the maternal instinct in me, even though I'm not a mom, clicked in, and I was like, oh my gosh, these girls are going to fall, they're going to faceplant into the sidewalk. The Barnes kids don't have much to work with, but coming up soon they will. Their school, Lowell, got chosen by the district to be the recipient of a playground.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so they're working with a nonprofit that will design and build a playground. It should be up in a couple years. So in that regard, they're one of the lucky ones.
That's great for Lowell, but what about the schools that weren't selected by the district? I mean, did you find any schools that were able to get a playground on their own?
I did, yeah. So I talked to a group of parents at Greenfield Elementary in Rittenhouse, and they didn't have a playground and they wanted one, and they got really creative. They figured out that they had sort of an unlikely partner in the Philadelphia Water Department. The Water Department is invested in ripping up a bunch of asphalt and concrete because they don't want these impermeable surfaces that create runoff. So the Water Department paid for some playground renovations for the Greenfield parents. And then they started applying for other grants. They figured out which foundations were out there that would support this type of thing. And they were even savvy enough to look to the community members surrounding the school. Even if they were families that didn't have kids that attended the school, they realized that these playgrounds could serve as really attractive fundraising tools for the surrounding community because everybody wants to have a green space in their neighborhood, and everybody wants to be able to advertise, maybe on a real estate ad, that they have green space in their neighborhood. So these community spaces also served as promotional materials and as property value increases. Parents at Greenfield really had the time and the energy and the resources and the professional networks and the professional skills to pull all this together for their school. One of the parents I talked to involved in the Greenfield Elementary Friends of group is in charge of some of the fundraising for the next phase of their playground. His name's DeWitt Brown.
I'm a father of a third grader here. I also have four-year-old twins that start kindergarten in the fall. Greenfield is very lucky in that the parents in our community have a lot of connections with a lot of people. I mean, we're a very well-resourced school in terms of what our parents can bring to the table and help out.
After your stories were published, there was an event for the community on inequity in play. And you got a lot of feedback at this event, right?
Yeah. So we hosted a community discussion in Olney, right near Lowell Elementary, where the Barnes family goes to school and lives. And we had members of the community there. We had members of the district there. And we had people talking about, you know, these two ways that you can get a playground. You can either be selected by the district to receive some of the limited funding that they have, or you can kind of cobble things together and do it on your own if you are pretty well resourced. And after the panel, this guy came up to me and he was frankly pretty frustrated.
I'm Dennis Barnaby. Live here in Germantown for a long time. Raised my kids here, and we're in Kelly School where they went to elementary school.
And said, you know, I've been working with the school for the last 7 years trying to go either of these routes, and neither of them are working for me. Like, what about me?
So it's been a hard slog to figure out who to talk to, where to go. I'm assuming that what we were given was it. You know, take this to somebody, get $200,000, $400,000, and build this. It's not how it works.
He told me he thinks the small, committed group of people he's worked with has raised maybe $70,000, which is actually pretty impressive. That's a lot of money.
Yeah,
but
that is.
When we're talking about an $800,000 playground, it's a drop in the bucket. So, you know, Dennis told me he tried with the water department, no luck there. He tried with the district. You know, they told him they wanted to support him and have been a great partner, but they don't have money for him. He tried with one of the local nonprofits and they said no. So, you know, an instance like this shows that even if there are some pathways to be able to cobble together funding, having no outline process can be really frustrating for the majority of people who are trying to get this done.
So what is Dennis doing now?
Well, he's still hacking away and trying with the district and trying with the water department. It looks like he might make some headway there. But in the meantime, there are some kind of schools of thought that say we don't need to rely on a playground space for kids to play. You know, we can put elements that they can engage with that can stimulate their mind, stimulate physical activity all over the place, in the grocery store, in the waiting aisle, in, you know, at a bus stop. All these different spaces can be opportunities for kids to play.
There's this library in North Philly that has a climbing wall.
Yeah, exactly. And that's another really good point, is it's not, we don't have to rely just on schools either. There are lots of parks and lots of public green spaces in Philadelphia. And as you know, the city's rebuild program is investing in all of those too. So that's something else to think about. If you don't have a place for kids to play at your local school playground, you still might, you know, down the street at a public park. And there are some nonprofits that schools bring in at recess, for instance. There's one called Playworks, and they help kids come up with games and come up with ways to be creative in those spaces. That's less of a physical structure, but it's still a structure to get kids moving around.
Nina, you've done a lot of reporting on this. What jumped out at you? What was the thing that surprised you most?
Honestly, I think the biggest thing for me was just how much people care about this issue. I started out and I kind of had a lot of the same questions you did, honestly, about why does this really matter so much?
Yeah.
Should this be the first priority? And the ease with which parents, kids, teachers, even the school district administrators who maybe aren't prioritizing funding these things were able to say, this matters to me for these different reasons. People came out in full force for this issue. People want this changed now.
Nina, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov and Alex Stern, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. Tweet me at AnnetteJH. We'll see you tomorrow.